Hey, Christy, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm going to ask you a set of rapid-fire questions. The first one I have is, if you had the opportunity to be the president of the United States for 5 days, what would your priorities be?
Well, I think that's a huge challenge, obviously, for only having 5 days. But I think right now, I think the focus would be on the economy. So I would try to gather the best experts I could have around me and try to figure out how we could shore up the economy and, get things back on track.
Nice. And I'm going to slightly change the question now. What would you do if you were the governor
I was
of
a
president?
governor. Well, I will say I personally think our governor, Brian Kemp, is doing a great job in Georgia. So let me see. There are so many different issues. We have a lot of things going for business in Georgia. I don't know. That's a very challenging question. Probably try to do something with making sure, a lot of times municipalities and the governor sometimes don't have the greatest relationship, and that's been a challenge for him in the past. So I think maybe try to figure out a way to mend that bridge and work forward with the city of Atlanta folks, which is a huge challenge because they have different priorities.
Okay. And if you had the opportunity to change one rule in the government process, what would you change?
Well, I tell you, I work now at the federal level for my company, and it moves very slow. Working in the past, I've been working on issues at the State House in Georgia, and it moves a lot faster. So, in the company that I have now, I cover the Southeast, so I have nine southern states, and I see how things move quickly through the state houses. So, I don't know how we would make this happen with all the gridlock we have in DC, but it would be nice to see things move quicker at the federal level.
And is that on purpose? I've heard this from other lobbies as well. Is there a reason why it's so slow at the federal level compared to the state?
Well, I don't think it's always been this way. And historically, if you look back, I think that a lot of it now has to do with personalities and people not wanting to reach across the aisle. So I think that really has a lot to do with it now, why we're at gridlock, because people don't reach out. People don't vote on the other side of the aisle. There were plenty of times, when Reagan was president, he and Tip O'Neill worked together, when he was Speaker of the House. So that relationship was great, and they had legislation that they worked on together. And I think we need to get past partisanship and find things that we can work on together. And there are plenty of things that have common ground, plenty of issues that we can find common ground.
And how would you encourage the young students to be more involved in government relations or government?
Yeah, I'm not really sure now. Like in high school, what's taught, I understand that some schools don't really even teach civics or government anymore. So I personally think that's unfortunate. But if you are interested, I would just have them get involved in like a local campaign for politics. Granted, that's not always policy driven, but when you get involved with a campaign, you learn about the different policies, you learn about education, you learn about the economy. You learn about all the things in your state, or say it's a city council race, what's important in your city. So get involved at some level and volunteer. Because when you volunteer, you work in a lot of different areas, right? You do the mail, you put up signs, you do whatever. So that's how I personally got started, is working on a political campaign. It happened to be at the state level, but that's what I would recommend.
And what is the hardest part about your job?
Hardest part about my job, well, most people that have listened to your podcast, they know what a lobbyist does. So we educate folks, right? I work for a company called Go Rail, and we advocate for freight rail throughout the US. So, the hardest job is just educating people who are starting from, zero and don't know anything about whatever industry it is, name an industry. So you just kind of have to start from ground one. We do Railroad 101 and explain, what we're advocating for, the kinds of changes we want, or the kinds of things that we want to stay the same. So I think just realizing that everybody's not at the level that you are, and you have to give it from a 30,000 foot level and just assume that nobody knows about this issue, you know, whether it's state taxes or, you know, raising the income tax or whatever the issue is, you just have to start from that area. And, you know, I didn't know anything about freight rail before I started this job either. And I'm almost in my ninth year. So you just have to be patient with people and understand that they're thankful for the information most of the time, because it helps them do their job better.
What is the best advice you've ever received?
Best advice I've ever received. This is probably going to be very cliche, but I found it to be true over and over, is just stay true to yourself. So as a lobbyist, you know, I've been asked to work for many different organizations, many different causes, and I've just always worked for causes that I believe in. You know, you could always go down the path of making a lot of money and working for something that you don't really believe in, but that's not been my experience. So just stay true to yourself, work for causes that you really believe in. Not only professionally, I mean, I have a very big passion for helping people that have autism. I have a good friend that has an autistic child. And so even just volunteering for something like that, to lobby for a cause that you feel very passionate about. So just stay true to yourself and work for causes that you really believe in.
So if a layman came in and asked you, like, you know, what does a lobbyist do? How would you explain that to them?
Yeah. So when I tell people, a lot of people that, you know, don't understand government relations, that's why you're having this podcast, right? And so when I say I'm a lobbyist, and then they go, oh, and they have a really blank look on their face. Right. Mm-hmm. What we just talked about, explaining to governmental officials, chambers, economic development departments, whoever you're meeting with, exactly what your industry does, or like we were mentioning with autism, if it's a certain, you know, organization that is trying to get laws passed or changed or whatever, just making sure that they understand that you're trying to give them the best information. And that's basically what I tell people, that I explain to people what's going on with freight rail at the federal level. Mm. And that's kind of a quick way to explain it, you know.
And why is this profession, you know, so misunderstood?
I think it's been misunderstood because there's been so many people that have abused it. And like we just talked about, not staying true to yourself, going for the money, you know, taking bets under the table, whatever it is. And, you know, we've seen this at the federal level, state level, many times all over the country. So I think that's why it gets a bad rap, because those are the people that are on the news, and those are the people that are, you know, you see the stories on the Wall Street Journal. And so that's what people focus on. So they don't realize just the people like me and the others that you've interviewed that are out in the trenches, just trying to educate elected officials, you know.
Mm-hmm. Good answer. I'm going to switch gears on you a little bit into your personality. What is your favorite destination spot?
My favorite destination spot? Well, I think I may have a new destination spot coming up. My husband and I are about to go to Italy in 2 weeks, for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that may become my new favorite destination spot. We've been trying to get there for a few years, so we'll see. But we go to Hilton Head, South Carolina, every year for vacation. So I'd have to say that's my favorite.
Thanks. And what is your favorite movie?
An Affair to Remember. Cary Grant and Deborah Kerr.
Oh, nice.
It's a remake of another movie, but it's a favorite movie of my husband and myself.
So these are like from the 1960s and 70s.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Well, probably more like late 50s. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to love those movies.
You're too young to know that.
No, yeah, my dad used to watch some of these movies.
Right.
And I never understood why he was watching it until I grew up. And then I watched it. Then I figured out, oh, there's a reason. I mean, the story, the picturization, there's not too much drama going on. It's really clean.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
With that, let's move on to your past. Can you tell me, where did you grow up, and you know, how was your childhood like? And did you have an interest in politics when you were growing up?
Sure. So I live in Carrollton, Georgia. It's about an hour west of Atlanta, and that's where I grew up. Briefly after college, my husband and I moved to Atlanta and lived there for about 12 years, but we've been back in Carrollton for about 20 years now. So Anyway, so we came back home to raise our kids. So yes, I did have an interest, not necessarily in politics. I thought I wanted to go to law school as early as seventh grade. We had career day or whatever, you know, make a poster about what you want to be. And that's what mine was on. So for early on, I really thought I wanted to be a lawyer. I even took the LSAT after college. I went to work. I went to paralegal school. My mom and dad gave me some very good advice. She was like, why don't you go work in a law firm, see what it's like, then maybe decide if you want to pursue the career, which I thought was great advice from my parents.
Yeah.
So went to paralegal school in Atlanta, worked for a couple of different firms in Atlanta, and really enjoyed that a lot. I liked the research aspect of it. I liked just learning about the different cases. But then I did decide I didn't want to be a lawyer. So, I mean, it was a good career move for me because I didn't go down a path that necessarily wouldn't have brought me, you know, brought me fulfillment. But I did enjoy being a paralegal, and I made a lot of connections through that, folks that I still keep with in touch today. So anyway, I may have gone a little bit too long on what you wanted to know, but so that's how it started.
I see. And what, I mean, in your seventh grade, how did you decide that you were going to be a lawyer? I mean, did you just see someone doing that, or did you watch a movie or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question. People around me would probably tell you that I'm a very good debater. Okay. So I think that might have had something to do with it.
Okay.
I don't know. And also I think at an early age, I had a love for justice and people seeing justice. So maybe that had something to do with it too.
Okay. And so when did you stumble into government relations? So what happened after you graduated?
Okay. Right. So worked at the paralegal job for probably about 10 years on and off with two different firms. So then we lived in Gwinnett County at the time in Georgia, and I got very involved in the Gwinnett County Republican Party. Just, you know, we had moved there, wanted to get involved. And so got involved in the Gwinnett County Women's group. And then I was just sort of fell in my lap that somebody recommended me for a job when Clint Day was running for lieutenant governor. This was 1998. So I became his fundraising assistant. I didn't know anything about running a campaign. I didn't know anything about fundraising, but I sat beside him every day and we dialed for dollars all day, every day. And it was a great experience. So that was my first campaign, which led to my next campaign. And so really starting on working with politics first before I got to policy.
And can you tell me, I mean, I'm a naive question here. What is dial for dollars?
Okay. So that's just when we're calling people for money.
Okay.
So, okay. You know, we're fundraising. So the candidate's just calling and asking for money.
Okay.
It was back in the 90s. That was way before we had computer software, like, you know, working with people. So we're literally on the phone. I'm feeding him names and he's calling them and asking them for a certain amount of money.
Got it. And what did that experience teach you, which is currently helping you in government relations?
Right. So a lot of it I learned. Well, I learned how the campaign process worked, of course, but then I also, the networking of it was huge. Mm-hmm. So that was the part I really enjoyed too. We had a lot of fundraisers, of course. So I would say both of those things, but the networking was very big for me and it opened up a huge world of people that worked on different issues, you know, lawyers that worked on campaigns, state legislators, you can imagine all the folks that were involved. So mm-hmm. It just kind of was a great networking opportunity for me as it ended up. As my career moved forward.
Mm. And what happened after that? So once you did the campaigns, when was your first foray into government relations?
Right. So my first time that I worked with government relations, I worked for a company in Tyrone, Georgia called Southeastern Lumber Manufacturers Association. So it's a trade association for, you know, lumber manufacturers for sawmills. Yeah. So I just applied for that job. You know, I had had a little bit of policy experience, not a ton, but they took a shot on me and it worked out great. I worked there for 3 years. I learned a lot. We had a lobbyist in DC that did a lot of our federal stuff. And so what I did was work with our board members and help them understand the kind of issues that we were facing and what we needed to do. You know, I was in charge of the government relations committee and things like that. But that lobbyist that we had in DC was a huge mentor to me and really got me understanding how things work at the federal level.
Interesting. And after you worked at the association, what happened after that?
So I was there for about 3 years and I left there. I loved that job, but I left there because I wanted to be able to work from home. So I had an opportunity to work for a job that allowed me to work from home because my kids were in high school and I wanted to be home. It was the International Premium Cigar Association. They had a lot of, at that time, they had a lot of active legislation against their industry. Mm-hmm. So it was the brick and mortar cigar stores. Mm-hmm. So I was there for about a year and a half. And then after that is when I moved to my current position, which I work for Go Rail now. I think I mentioned that earlier. And I've been in this position for a little over 8 years.
And if you had to, you know, take all the wisdom you've had, and if you had to distill it, and then tell us what are a few things which you would like to share about what are the good things you need to do to be a good lobbyist? How would you share that?
Well, the very first thing you need to do is be prepared. You have to do your research. You have to know your issue. You know, if there's a certain piece of legislation that you're working for or against, you've got to know all the arguments. Because when you sit down in front of somebody, if you tell them, hey, we're going for this, we want you to vote this way, they're going to want to know what's the arguments the other way. Mm-hmm. So you have to know the issue forward and backward. You can't just count on having a white paper and presenting it to somebody. You have to know what you're presenting, because when you're meeting with a legislator or any elected official, they want to know that you're telling them the full story. So I was given some very, I forgot to mention this early on. I was in, Senator Paul Coverdell had a leadership institute. I was in there in the late 90s and our director told me, she was like, as a lobbyist, you can never lie to a legislator or anybody about whatever it is. Because that's it. Your word is what you got. So you have to present all the facts, but you have to be truthful in everything that you're giving to them. Nice. Because it will come back to you, you know. Your reputation is everything.
Yeah. And like, I feel like, you know, more than your successes, I think your failures actually define you.
Right.
Do you have any failures which you've experienced? And if so, what did you learn from it?
Yeah, I do actually. Not me personally necessarily, but there have been challenging times in different positions that I've had, working with difficult people, things like that. And of course, you know, you're going to run the gamut of anybody that you meet when you're lobbying, right? Because, like, for example, now I have 9 states. So, I mean, I think a valuable lesson is learning how to deal with people that are challenging and push back on you, and just learning how to handle it in the right way. And I'm sure when I was younger, didn't handle those situations as well as I can now, you know, but that's a learning process and a maturing process.
Mm-hmm. And if you had to define someone who was actually thinking about you, how would you want your family to remember about you?
Wow. I would say most people would say that I'm loyal, probably to a fault. I think I'm fun and smart. I'm hoping people would say that. yeah, but just, you know, a good person, a kind person.
Who is the most famous person you've ever met?
The most famous. I met John McCain one time in DC. I met President George W. Bush.
How are they like in person?
Well, both were very brief. It wasn't like I was having a sit down with them. So, but yeah, you know, personable and able to come over and say hello, even though they were busy, you know.
Nice. So looking forward, how would you want to see yourself in 5 years, 10 years down the line? You can now talk anything about either your organization or about yourself.
Sure. Yeah. So I mentioned the organization. I love the work that I do now. We have a great team. The industry is a very good industry to work for. So I really just see myself continuing in this role for as long as I can. That's what I plan to do. Travel some. I mentioned we're going to Italy. So I want to do that. Or we have two, my husband and I have 2 grown adult sons who are in their 30s. So, you know, traveling to visit with them and spend time with them. So we'll see.
Nice. And is it the politics or the policy which, you know, ignites your fire?
Well, originally I got involved through the politics, but I will tell you, I always wanted to get on the policy side. So when I had the opportunity, when I got the SLMA job, when I got into policy, I was very happy with that because I love the research. I love to talk and connect with people. So I still would love to volunteer on a campaign here and there, but that's also a young person job. So a lot of long hours and, you know, but yeah, the policy was very interesting to me.
And in closing, do you have any final thoughts or any wisdom or advice you would like to share?
Well, I would just say to folks that really are interested in government relations to try to shadow somebody. Go to somebody at your state legislature. Go to your city council person. I mean, start locally. You know, you know somebody that you can, this elected, that you can talk to. Sit down, have a cup of coffee with them and pick their brain. People are very interested in mentoring others to get involved. I'm happy to do that anytime people express an interest to me. So reach out to somebody and just say, hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing.
Nice. And how would someone reach out to you if they're interested to, you know, have your mentorship?
Sure. So they could go to my website for my company. It's GoRail, GORAIL, and my contact information is there.
Perfect. And I just wanted to conclude by saying, Christy, the clarity of thought you have and the effective communication skills you have, you are a great person indeed. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.